Thank you, Dwight. And thank all of you this morning for joining us together here in our worship service. You know, every one of us in life have our ups and downs. And if the truth were known this morning, you may be having a downer today. I hope you're not. I hope that life is going good for you, and I hope that you are in the right relationship with God that you want to enjoy. I know one thing, that everything is cyclical. The stock market rises, it falls. Interest rates go up, they come down. The housing market is also booming, but the housing market sometimes reaches a low. Life is filled with ups and downs. And believe it or not, many of those downs are attributable to the fact that you and I have brought them about. It is true. I heard a story the other day about a man who was driving down the highway. And you can imagine, to his shock, he was passed by a lady that was speeding and doing about breakneck speed at about 100 miles an hour on a two-lane road. Now, kind of get that picture. The danger that she proposed was high, so you can imagine the relief of the man when he saw a little bit later down the road that her car was pulled over by another car with whirling lights. You know what I'm talking about. Well, their conversation went something like this. The officer said, "May I have your license and your registration papers, please?" And the lady said, "Well, officer, it's okay. I have a special license that allows me to do this," smiling. The officer looked at her and he says, "Yeah, right." He said, "I have never in my lifetime working as an officer ever heard of such a license." And the lady reached into her purse and handed him her license. The officer said, "Just as I suspected, this is an ordinary driver's license, and I see nothing here that would allow you special consideration." But the lady, still smiling, pointed to the bottom of the license, and she said, "See, it says right here, tear along the dotted line." Now, if you didn't get that, we'll give you a CD where you can replay it. Sometimes in life, many of our problems are self-induced. I want to talk to you this morning about controlling life's ups and downs. How do we go about doing that? Now, if you experience that in your life, how do you go about controlling it, or do you have anything to do with it? Can you really control your life? I believe that God gives us the power to control many of the problems that we face in our life. And I want to tell you how we can do that. I would tell you, first of all, that we are a people that must live a detached life. That is, we must live detached from the world. In the book of John, the 17th chapter, verse 15 and following, the Bible says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil, for they are not of the world," Jesus says, "even as I am not of the world." But in verse 17 and 18, he continues. He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world." And then the following verses, "And for this sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. And neither pray I for these alone, but for all of them which shall believe on me through their word." Isn't it interesting that Christ did not pray that the disciples would be removed from the evil influence that is in the world? Now, you and I probably in our rationale would think that even because God doesn't want us to live like the world and to be a part of the world, that he would just pray that that he would want us to get out of the world and not be a part of it. But he's praying, Jesus is praying, "I pray not that thou shouldest remove them from the world, but that you would keep them from the evil that is in the world." The reason for that is that you and I have a great potential to lead other people to Jesus. You and I have a great potential to be an influence for good in the world around us. I'm afraid that many, many times we are allowing the world to influence us instead of those of us who are children of God influencing the world around us to become like Christ. We have become so much a part of the world. And in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the will of God. You see what Paul is saying? He is saying, don't be like the world. But you know what? Many of us do conform to the world. We conform to the way the world lives. We talk like the world. We live like the world. We dress like the world. We go where the world goes. And we indulge ourselves in the world. And we have become more like the world than we have like Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Do you know the biggest mistake that Demas ever made in his life was the fact that he was more concerned about the present world than he was about his love for God. He loved the world more than he loved God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you love God? Do you really love God more than you love the world? In 2 Timothy 4 and 10, the Bible says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. Do you realize that there are many who have departed Christ and have gone back into the world? There are many today who claim to be Christians, and many who at one time were very faithful, knowledgeable children of God, but they have gone back to the world. They live like the world. You couldn't point them out as a Christian in the world. You couldn't do it because they have become so much like the world around them. Life's ups and downs. You know, there are many circumstances in this life that we all face. And I know one thing, that many of these circumstances are brought about by our own doing. But you know what? God says that we have to live above the circumstances of life. If I were to ask you this morning, how are you getting along? A lot of folk would say, well, you know, I'm doing pretty well under the circumstances. Did you realize that God doesn't want you to live suppressed under the circumstances of life? But he wants you to live above them. He does. But I know one thing, that when one loves the world more than he loves God, you will face many circumstances, and many of them will not be pleasant. I came to realize a number of years ago that God will walk with those who walk with him. One of the great statements about Enoch in the Bible is the fact that Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. There seemed to be that communication that took place between God and this great man of the Lord. But how much communication takes place between us and God today? Can people truly say of you that you walk with God? When one loves the world, he will face many consequences and circumstances in this life. That's why the Bible in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord God. Be separate. Be different. I think about what Peter said about the early church when he said that we are a peculiar people, that we are royal priesthood, a holy nation. And that's the way God wants us to live. Not unholy lives, but holy lives. But there's a second thing that we must do. If we're going to control the circumstances of life, not only are we to live a life that is detached from the world, but we are to live a life that is dependent upon God. You know, one of the things that really trouble me in today's world is the fact that many people do not feel that they are dependent upon anyone. People talk about their independence. We talk about our independence as a nation. I'm going to tell you something. In one sense, we are a nation independent. But in another sense, we are a nation that is dependent upon God. For when you take God out of the nation, folks, there is no hope. One thing I mentioned, and Adam will remember this, at that veteran celebration the other day. The late Ronald Reagan, and great statesman, by the way, once made the statement, when we remove God from our nation, we will be a nation that has gone under. And it is true of our lives. We must live dependent lives. We must depend upon God every day. We must depend upon Him. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now I want you to notice what Paul says. Paul doesn't say, I can do all things by myself. I am a self-made man. But Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. God gives you the power to live the kind of life that is exemplary of Christ. Sometimes I marvel when I hear people say, well, one of these days I'm going to become a Christian when I feel that I can live and walk like Jesus. You will never ever reach that point in your life. And if you ever reach that point, I'm going to tell you something, you will be mistaken in your mind. Because you can't do it without God. It isn't going to happen. The only way that you are ever going to walk the walk of Christ and live like Jesus lived is to understand that you'll do it through Jesus, not apart from Him. Too many of us live independent lives. People have their jobs, people have their money, they think they're independent. I don't need anyone. I'm my own person. I'm my own man. But I'm going to tell you, God can reduce you to poverty just as He can raise you to prosperity. And God can bring misery in your life just as He can bring joy and anticipation and hope into your life. Jesus taught that many, in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter and verse 1, that many people in this world are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and they bring forth no fruit meet for perfection. Isn't going to happen. It bothers me sometimes when I see people who are so troubled by the cares of this life. It seems like every day in our world there are ups and downs, and you get beyond one downer, and then tomorrow there's another thing that pushes you down. There's another thing that happens. And you wonder, how I can rise above it? And how can I really get onto that plateau where I really want to be? You know what? I'm going to tell you something. You can be there every day. Because you don't have to let things get you down. Because you and God are in control. You are. We must depend upon God. Jesus taught a great lesson on that subject in the book of John, the 15th chapter in verse 8. Listen to what He says. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now listen to that last line. For without me you can do nothing. Nothing. Zero. You will never ever be able to control your life without God. You'll never be able to control the ups and downs. I'm going to tell you something. I really believe you can control the ups and downs. I believe we have the power to do that. Because as I said, many of the downs that we experience in life are self-induced. They're problems that we create in our own life. We blame God. We blame society. We blame other people. Instead of looking into the mirror of God's Word and coming to the realization that we are the ones oftentimes that cause the problem. But then there's another thought. Not only are we to live detached lives, and not only are we to live dependent lives, but you and I are to live dynamic lives. Now, what I mean by dynamic life, I'm talking about a life that is filled with zeal and enthusiasm every day. I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of bad things going on in this world. And if you read the newspaper every day, you've read it over the last few days, you've been replaying all the bad things that are going on in America. and all the terrible things that are going on in the college institutions and around the world, I'm telling you, it might be enough to get you down, but you don't have to stay submerged there. Because of our relationship with Christ, we can live a dynamic life. The gospel is a dynamic gospel. Paul called it the power of God unto salvation, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Again, he says, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. Every day you and I can live that dynamic life. And we should. There is a heavenly strength that is available to us. You can't see it. If I were to say, well, you know, how many of you have a heavenly strength? How many of you have the power of God in your life? You say, oh, I know I have the power of God. How do you explain that? How do you explain it to the average person on the street? I can't explain it. But I know it's there. I know that it is God who enables me every day to live like He's asked me to live. It's not me. I'm going to tell you something. When you see me living the Christian life, it's not me. It's like Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. There is a heavenly strength that is available unto us. It is there. But then there is the human sufficiency that is there. In the book of Psalms 18:32, and there are many passages here that reflect the fact that God provides heavenly strength. It is God that giveth me the strength that maketh my way perfect, David said. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 and verse 31. But what about the human sufficiency that is accomplished? When God gives us strength, then we can do more than we think we can do. How many of you have ever heard of situations maybe where someone's driving along and maybe up ahead they see a car maybe that has fallen maybe on a child or someone, and someone goes over and in their might, and I really believe sometimes in the power of God, they're able to help lift that car off that child or individual. You think you did that by yourself? You think you did that because your adrenaline is pumping? Let me tell you something. God gives you the ability to do much more than you can imagine in your life as a child of God. He does. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. We can control it. I don't have to be down because things are not always going like I want them to go in life. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You will never, ever experience a day in your life when everything will go like you want it to go. It is not going to happen. Controlling life's ups and downs. How do we do it? Live a detached life. Live a dependent life. And live that dynamic life that can only be lived through Christ. In the book of Revelation 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, for the lukewarm Christian, your only hope is to turn back to God. Sometimes people experience downers and they get down and it's very hard for them to get up. And I'm going to tell you something, the only way you can get up is with the power of God. And you just go back to God and you repent and you get restored in your relationship with Christ. I guess the real question of the hour here today, November 13th, is this question. Do you want to control? Do you really want to control life's ups and downs? Do you? You cannot do it without God. You can't. Again, the question, are you a Christian? Do you realize that God's promise? I hear people say sometimes, well, things generally work out for the best. I'm going to tell you something, that is not the case. Now that may sound like negativity, or it may sound somewhat pessimistic, but I'm telling you, things do not always work out for the best. They do for the child of God. They do for the Christian. And when Paul wrote those words in the book of Romans 8 and verse 28, he's writing to those who are in Christ, to those who are Christians. He said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul makes this statement. He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I guess you could say, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet your Lord? Behold, now is the time of salvation. Today is the day, not tomorrow. You may have another downer tomorrow when Christ can get you up today. And the real question again is, would you give your heart and your mind to Jesus? He tells us how we do that. I know it's unlike, and it's certainly uncharacteristic of what the world would teach you to do, to give your heart and your mind to Jesus Christ. Because many in the world today would tell you all you've got to do to give your mind and your heart to Jesus Christ is just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. That isn't what Christ said. He said, you've got to believe in him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Not flippantly seek after him, or haphazardly seek after him, but those who are diligent about seeking God. And then we are to confess the name of Christ to be the Son of God. Sometimes people say, well, that's just so trite to stand up and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No, it's not trite. How many people do you know in the world? Do you know the majority of the world today has never confessed Christ as Lord? If you think it's trite, rethink it. And people must repent of their sin, which is extremely difficult. A lot of people want to be a Christian without repenting. A lot of people want to go to heaven without getting right with God. A lot of people want to have a hope that is realistic and based upon the fact that we can go to heaven, but they're unwilling to yield to Christ. And so they go through life bobbling up and down, up and down. And then a person must be baptized in order to have his sin forgiven and removed. Isn't it interesting that in baptism one has to go down in order to come up? In order for us to come up with God, we must go down in the water of baptism, that we might be raised in the likeness of Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm telling you this morning that Jesus Christ is awaiting your response. He is. Just think about that. You know, sometimes we stand up here and we offer the invitation, and we sing a song of encouragement, and sometimes we just think, well, we're up here waiting. But I'm going to tell you something. Just think about it in this light, that Jesus is waiting. Christ is awaiting your response. He's watching from heaven, even though he's here among us. He is watching and waiting for people to come to him. He is. In the book of Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Bible says that the Spirit and the bride say, come, that is the church. And let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the fountain of the water of life freely. Would you turn your life over to Jesus today, now? Let me tell you why it's important to do that. Tomorrow might be too late. I held the hand of my nephew yesterday as he departed this life. He had a massive brain hemorrhage on Wednesday. Never became responsive again. They care flighted him to East Texas Medical Center in Tyler, put on a respirator, lived like that for 3 days. I was summoned by the family to come yesterday and offer a prayer in their behalf. I went. The nurse told me he's not breathing on his own and there is no brain wave activity at all. Tuesday, he was in control of his ups and his downs. Wednesday, he lost control. After we had our prayer, I stood there at that room and saw them remove that respirator. The very thing that had sustained his life physically. I took his hand and I held it. I felt his heartbeat in his pulse. For about 5 minutes, after that respirator was removed. No breath, only a heartbeat. And I watched that monitor, and that heart rate was up to about 90, and it would go to 80, to 70, to 60, 50, 40, 30. An international attempt for the heart to regain momentum. It would beat back up for about 10 beats. And you could almost feel the struggle within his chest. And finally, down to 20 and 10. And the line would almost be flat, but a little bobble here, a little bobble there, until it reached what we call flat line. Do you realize that that could happen to you? Do you realize, do you honestly believe and understand that today you are in control of your ups and your downs? Tomorrow may be too late. That's why it's so important for people to become Christians. While you have control. And you control your destiny, whether you believe it or not. You will determine whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. That's your choice. And if you're lost, you can't blame it on anyone else. Nor can I. So I hope today, as you join with me in the singing of this invitation song, that you really will resolve within your heart to be a devoted Christian. If you've wandered away from God, I hope you'd come back. And if you're not a Christian, I hope you would solidify your relationship with Christ today while you have time and opportunity. For tomorrow may be too late. Let us stand and let us sing.